The Loose Cannons podcast is a free-form discussion about film that contains mature language,
such as poop and titty,
and descriptions of mature situations,
such as filing taxes and raising children.
We do not have any concern for spoilers, so if you haven't seen the film or films we are discussing and don't want to have the twists ruined for you, please watch the film before listening to the podcast.
What do you think this is, some kind of political action?
Everything is political.
Hey everyone, another Loose Cannons podcast coming at you, our second of Black Filmmakers Month, celebrating African American history in February. We've got our regular crew back with us today, and let's kick it off with some heralds and denouncements. Patrick, do you have a herald or denouncement?
Oh my gosh, I had a denouncement, and I'm trying to remember what it was now. I have kind of a, I don't know, like heraldish denouncement. I saw in your eyes, so you know.
Oh yeah,
I saw in your eyes, so oh. I was just perplexed that anyone would make this into a movie. Like, this story is just completely insane.
I know, that's why it's amazing.
But yeah,
none of it makes any sense.
I'll say, don't expect it to be an amazing movie, but go see it.
It's bizarre. What do you think of that psychic sex scene?
I expected it to be a little bit weirder, actually. I was expecting more weirdness, but it was pretty strange. I thought the scene where he's slapping himself and she could feel it was pretty funny, though. I was like,
yeah,
is there gonna be more of this in the movie? Is he gonna be abusive to her psychically?
All right, Basil?
No, I don't really have anything I've seen that I feel super strongly one way or the other. I rewatched Casino Royale, and it was good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I watched Face Off, and it was great. I really enjoyed Face Off, and don't really have much to say about it except, I guess, the thing that I kind of was struck by was that the face change thing, I kind of took as like a funny way of commenting on what actors do to get movie roles. Like, so yeah, you can be this, like, can you just like lose like 20 pounds or gain 20 pounds and then like shave your head off or shave your like head and then also pretend to be like a really terrible person? Because that would be really great if you could do that. And like, I really loved Nicolas Cage like acting very operatic, for lack of a better word. That's what everyone says about this movie, but it fits really well, and it's really, really fun. And I really loved the slow-mo, which everyone seems to hate, but I really dug that. I thought it was really fun. And yeah, and I've been watching all the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
So I would like to denounce Draco Malfoy as a character. And also, I kind of really hate Dumbledore. But that's a whole different like story, but I would kind of like to denounce those two.
All right. Trying to regain back some of my credibility after last week's denouncement, I'm going to herald Do the Right Thing, which I rewatched this past week, and went from a movie that I was indifferent about to being one of my favorite movies of all time. You can all read my review on Letterboxd if you haven't yet. But basically, this movie is like super literate. Like, it's like a smart Quentin Tarantino film, in that it's pulling from like a million sources that you don't even know. And it's still surprisingly relevant and sad today.
I would say Quentin Tarantino's films are like a dumber version of Do the Right Thing, since Do the Right Thing predates all of his movies.
Yeah.
That's a fair way to put it.
I just mean that the like tons of references being piled into a movie is associated with Tarantino.
That's true.
And it's not like, I mean, Spike Lee does it in other movies, but not to this extent.
Yeah, the last time I rewatched this movie, it was for a class, and it was a real awkward experience leaving that class because it was just like the movie was over, and then the professor was like, "All right, see you in a couple days," and I was like, "I just felt like I'd been punched in the stomach."
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, it was. I think it was one of the few movies on our last canon that I personally didn't like, but that's no longer the case.
Boom.
Aha! We've changed your mind.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Civil Brand time.
Yeah, let's talk about Civil Brand.
Yeah, let's do that.
This was my pick, so I'll tell you the plot, which is that there's a new girl coming into the women's prison. Her name is Frances. she's kind of convinced that she's going to be sort of in and out of there because her crime, she thinks it should be like manslaughter or something. She killed her husband by accident. But the other prisoners aren't as optimistic as she is. The structure of the story is that DeBrat, playing a character named Sabrina, is the narrator telling the story after it happened. There's a really awful guard named Deez, who sexually abuses and other things the women of the prison. And the prison is also being run for a profit. When the women eventually get fed up and they decide to stand up, at first nonviolently to the warden and stuff, but it doesn't work. So then they have kind of a revolt and things end pretty badly. But they're able to enact some change. And that's the end of the movie. Patrick?
I did not like this movie. I felt like the just outlandishness of the way it plays out really undercut whatever message it was trying to convey, and I don't think it was really clear about the message it was trying to convey anyway. It seemed like it kind of wanted to get at social issues at certain points, like it would bring them up, but then it would just dismiss them for more kind of like crazy plot drama to happen. So yeah, I didn't really think it gelled well as a story.
Yeah, I also did not like this movie. For most of the movie I was just like, oh, this is kind of a bad movie, but I'm sort of interested in what it's trying to say. But at a certain point I felt like it kept piling on dramatic situations in a really heavy-handed way that felt actually a little bit offensive and exploitative to me, and felt like it was just like injecting kind of like TV drama, like how do we up the stakes with this situation, and just kind of throwing in plot developments and then dropping them once the emotional moments hit, to the point where I think by the end I actually sort of ended up hating this movie instead of feeling just sort of indifferent to it. It made me pretty mad in certain points.
Yeah, I appreciated the fact that this movie did not, like, it's a movie about black women in prison, and there's not, like, a white character that introduces you to their problems, which I thought was good, like, that kind of trope that this movie didn't have. But, like, in a, like, and I also appreciated what it was trying to, like, say, which are important points about exploitation in prison, especially as it ties into prison trying to act as a way of making money off of prisoners, and them not being able to resist that in any way, and also how pretty much indifferent most people are to that, or would be to that sort of thing. But like the other points it made about exploitation in prison were like either points that like every single movie about prison has ever made about it, or it just felt like really heavy-handed and not really earned in any meaningful way. And also felt like the intercutting between the Bratz monologue and like narration and what was happening in the movie made up for like a really awkward rhythm where nothing could really develop. And yeah, so I didn't like this movie.
I also hated this movie. 4 for 4. I mean, I pretty much agree with everything all of y'all have said so far. It was really badly structured. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed, but at some points, DeBrat's character was talking to a reporter, and at some points she was talking to the camera, and at some point she was talking over what was going on, and it made it really confusing as to who she was addressing, or like, if it was supposed to be her telling the story to the reporter, it could have been done really differently and in a more interesting way, or maybe even like called attention to the idea that she was like an unreliable narrator, which might have been interesting, but it never did anything like that. I agree with Basil in that I thought it was just sort of like your average bad movie until about halfway through, when they started just sort of piling on the drama, especially with what happens with Lil Mama. I felt like was kind of offensive, and that, you know, it made me pretty sad because, you know, there aren't very many movies talking about this stuff, and I would like for there to be good ones, and this one is very much not a good one.
Yeah, I mean, on the topic of, things that I liked about it, I did like that, you know, even though it's sort of considered an accident or whatever, it's still, if you're paralleling it to, say, The Shawshank Redemption, the fact that Francis actually is guilty as opposed to just, like, an innocent person trapped, and we're still supposed to, like, identify with her and feel sympathetic to her exploitation, I think is kind of cool. And the idea that it never makes excuses like that they're innocent people and therefore we shouldn't abuse them, the idea that they're just like people and we shouldn't abuse them, and that the prison system is, you know, pretty awful in the way that it exploits labor. It goes about it in a really ham-handed way with the warden like glad-handing with these business people in a really like, ah, ha, ha, they can't do anything.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. Like, but it's still like a topic, yeah, that doesn't get brought up nearly as often as it should. So I give it some credit for that. But yeah, I think for me it started with Francis's baby dying, because I felt like, why is that there? Like, there's no reason for her baby outside of prison to die except to create a horrible thing that happened. Like, if she hadn't been in prison, maybe her baby wouldn't have died. And the way that it died, like, it just gets shot by, like, a stray bullet in a drive-by or something like that. Like, it's just the worst kind of writing and the worst kind of creating a situation where we're supposed to feel awful for a character, but
yeah, it doesn't. The way that scene ramps up, too, like, you know that she's going to say something bad, but she keeps kind of, like, just hinting at it, and Francis is, like, not getting the picture, and she's just, like, something else is wrong, and she's, like, what? She's, like, what's wrong? Like, she's not even getting the hint that, like, something's up until the very end, until she says it, and then she just explodes, and I was just, like...
I mean, when a movie tries to, like, make you annoyed at a character for not realizing that their baby has died and there's something really wrong with the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, just... like, that's probably, like, that scene really, really made me angry because, no way you can, cheapen something like that as just, like, oh, my baby died in a stray gang fight, gang bullet, whatever, shooting, accident moment. And now the movie can go crazy. Like, that's just really bad.
Yeah, because it's only relevant for, like, two scenes after that, and then this situation switches and she's no longer completely traumatized. She's focused on getting D's or whatever, and it never really gets brought up again.
I mean, it's... I agree with you that it's a terrible scene. I think the reason why they included it is just to say, like, okay, now she doesn't have anything to live for, so she's willing to revolt or whatever.
Right.
And that's why they put it in the movie. But, yeah, it's done in a really awful way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have to do it that way. Like, she could have met with, like, the parole person, and they would be like, yeah, you're not getting seen again. You're going to be here forever.
Yeah, or it could have been created a dramatic struggle where she's thinking the baby's not dead and she's thinking about trying to get back to her baby, and then there's kind of like a tension between trying to choose what to do, like whether to risk longer imprisonment for something that's really right in this moment, or whether to sort of choose not to participate because you have a family life that you're hoping to get back to. That could be a really interesting dramatic tension that they kind of just avoid having to deal with.
Yeah. One thing that I liked about this movie was that it was a reunion for late 80s, early 90s tertiary TV characters. Lisa Turtle from Saved by the Bell, it's Little Mama, and the other woman on Martin, the one who's not Gina, is the snitch.
Oh, I thought I recognized her.
And then I guess, you know, with MC Light.
Yeah, MC Light
got,
is the female
got
prisoner.
Some early 90s rap in there, too.
Yeah.
Mos Def.
MC Light and DeBrat and Mos Def, yeah.
Is DeBrat that early? I didn't know.
I don't know exactly when DeBrat was, but I was actually shocked this movie was made as late as it was. Like, I was watching it, and I was like, oh, this must be from, like, the mid-90s or something like that, mid-late 90s. And then I was like, 2002? That's crazy late. Because it just does not look like it.
No, it's fair.
It looks like it should be watched on VHS, for sure.
Yeah.
Or, like, on Lifetime. It feels like a Lifetime movie to me.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
No.
We all picked it.
I think this is, we now rounded out where everyone has had a movie that everybody disliked. Basil had Little Caesar, Patrick had Garden of Words, Ilya had 3 Days of the Condor, and I have this one.
Nice.
That is true. Let's make it a competition.
Who can have the best movies everyone dislikes?
Or who can have the worst movie?
This one might be the worst, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like Little Caesar gives it a run for its money, but they're both pretty bad.
Well, I liked Little Caesar more than this, but I can't speak for everybody.
I don't know. Little Caesar's more boring than this movie. I mean, at least there's a lot of stuff that happens in this movie.
Yeah.
You're just like, what's going to happen next?
That's true.
Another thing that I liked about this movie is that Mos Def is reading a magazine called Legal News.
I saw that.
I hate that the guard says that my grandma's name is Rose when he's about to assault that woman whose name is Rose. Because I guess the implication is that he always wanted to have sex with his grandma.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about the way that character is written and portrayed is so gross. Like, his acting is so over the top, and just, I don't know how menacing and unpleasant those scenes are. I'm like, I guess in a better movie this would feel maybe worth it, but the way that it's just kind of like thrown around as a given really feels super gross.
Yeah, I thought that character in Shawshank, who's like, again, I think that this movie, it does take some things from Shawshank. I thought that guy would be the worst guy because he's the worst and there's nothing interesting about that character, but this guy's even worse than that guy.
Yeah.
The guy who plays the drill sergeant and Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers,
Quincy and Brown. DeBrat filling in for Morgan Freeman. narration.
I thought some of the music was good, but it never fit within the movie. It was just like, I like this music, but I don't really understand what it's doing in this scene.
Yeah, I didn't think any of the music fit with the scenes that were here. It didn't feel like you needed a lot of music. It was just sort of there to kind of fill out the attitude or whatever they wanted the movie to have, because it felt like some of the scenes they were trying to like establish this like cool attitude among the characters, and I was like, you don't need to do that, just, you know, show me who they are as people. Because there's that one scene where Francis first enters the prison, somebody's gonna be like, all right, I'll show you who all the people are, and they point out like one person, and then that's it, they stop doing that. And I was like, why? Just point out one, all right, this person, they do that, and then somebody comes in and interrupts, and like the scene doesn't go on. And I was like, why have a like introductory scene if you're not going to introduce anybody?
A kind of similar thing happened with Mos Def's Mike and the head guard, and that he just like told him that he was going to do a good job, but it wasn't based off anything. There was like a fight, and then Mike stood there and watched it, and he's like, you're going to do well here. And I'm like, wait, doesn't that line normally follow when someone actually does something? Like, couldn't he have like grabbed one person or calmed someone down?
Yeah.
Like, she's got a knife, and then the guy knocks it out of the hand. But it doesn't make any sense. And then of course, like immediately after that, he's angry that the warden got Mike the job. Yeah. And then you're like, was he being sarcastic when he said you're going to do well here? Because it seemed like he was being earnest. This movie's really badly structured. Like, I kind of feel like they were just writing it, and then they never went back to look at anything that they'd written before that to see whether it made sense.
Yeah, the guy who wrote this movie also wrote and directed Crossover, which is one of the worst movies I've ever seen also. You know, it's about like underground basketball, and I was really excited for it, but it has similar issues in terms of being written really horribly and nothing really making sense. And then it's also directed probably even worse than this movie, because there's so many scenes where I was like, oh yeah, at least I'm gonna get to watch some basketball, and then it's just edited so that it doesn't make sense as a game or even like a thing you would watch. At one point in the movie, there's just like, it shows a hoop and then like the two players who are playing against each other dunking into the hoop like 20 times in a row, because they're just like, we want to get past this scene, this whole like reason that you're probably watching the movie, to get back to dialogue or whatever. So it was really annoying.
For a movie that's supposed to be, you know, uncovering exploitation of women, it has a scene where two women are in sweaty in their underwear for like 15 minutes for no reason, just like rolling around on the ground. So that seems like it might be undercutting their message a little bit there.
Although compared to most women in prison movies I've seen, this is pretty tasteful.
I think I read
a review somewhere that was like, this is just like those women in prison, like those exploitation women in prison movies like that Jack Hill used to make. And I'm like, no, it's not. It really has them. Very little to do with those.
There was no showering.
Those ones are going for
was
fun, even though they're not so much fun. This one's definitely going for gross.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to watch any of those movies, I think. I don't know. Like, I think that ship has sailed for me where I could ever want to watch that. I don't know. Like, I still feel like the reason I wanted to watch this movie is because I did feel like the themes of it could be explored in a way that would be really interesting. And also, I would like to watch a movie by a black female filmmaker about this topic with an all-black cast.
I think a more like maybe literate or referential director could even make a movie that's sort of like a reclamation of the women in prison genre, like, you know, referring to the idea that these movies are usually like weird sexual titillation and that we shouldn't do that because prison's actually like the worst thing ever. And, you know, but
yeah, I think a smaller story would even be interesting too, as opposed to like a big riot, like just one where, I don't know, you just feel kind of like worse and worse for the situation over time without them having to like pile on all this stuff.
Yeah. Has anyone seen Orange is the New Black?
Yeah. I have seen some of it, yeah.
I have, yeah.
It seems somewhat pertinent, but I've only seen a couple episodes and I didn't like it at all, so I don't have that much to say. But
well, there is a scene in Orange is the New Black that is kind of similar to the scene in this movie where...
Someone answered their phone.
I think that's Patrick. Yeah, there's a scene there where an inmate tries to kind of frame a guard, or they like the inmates try to frame one of the guards by having one of the inmates sleep with him, or like basically to then accuse him of rape, which is like pretty much the worst subplot of that whole first season.
Sure.
That definitely reminded me of the show. I otherwise didn't hate the show at all. Like I got to a point where I liked a lot of it, but I think like when it started getting away from Taylor, what's her face, Piper's the main character, and getting kind of like sidelining her and her stupid boyfriend as
Jason
characters.
Biggs.
Yes, it became pretty great.
Cool.
But yeah, so along those lines, I was thinking about that show a lot when I was watching it. But also, like, in a way, maybe also because, so Orange is the New Black is TV. This was made by a TV director, or like someone who's primarily known for television work. And you could, like, the movie is not really made, like, visually in a very interesting way. I guess Orange is the New Black has some interesting moments, but it's also not like a really like dazzling show to watch at all.
Sure.
In a way, it's like, you know, just orange and gray and not a lot of great visual scenes. And this movie was just like blue and really no good like visual scenes.
For sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, the office sets looked really cheap, and I especially found the scene where they show Mos Def like on a computer looking something up. Like, I was like, where is he? In like a black hole dimension? Like, there's nothing around him.
Call back just... to Carl Franklin, people typing while weird music plays, and lots of dissolves.
Yeah, that's another one of the terribly written things about this is that, like, so I wrote down when Mos Def started doing research, I was like, oh, they're going to have a male savior, he's going to help them out. But then that storyline is never really, like, the only thing that that means is that he will be nicer to them later on when they ask for his help. But, like, I thought he was going to get some of the news to the reporter, but they don't bring that up again or anything. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and Ilya mentioned it before, but I was going to bring it up. The surveillance plot also makes no sense because he has, like, this loop, but he has to go, like, press it. So anyone watching the tape, it'll be, like, a blank room because he's going to press it, and then suddenly he appears at his desk, like, doing desk work. Like, it seems like... there's no way that that makes any sense at all, and is as like a plan. And even later, like, the camera's pointed at his weird bed and then it cuts to him at his desk. So, like, why, like, if you're watching the whole tape, it's like empty bed and then cuts to him at his desk, like, like, it's like very obvious that he's hiding something. It's not like clever, like in Speed, where they're trying to like get a loop that just like seems like the same thing forever. I don't know. It seems like Preston Whitmore just saw Speed and was like, oh yeah, you could do that. Like, that's a way you can hide stuff.
He could have just turned it off. That would have been...
of the stuff that I guess this director/writer stole from, Speed is the best. It's better than Oz, and it's better than Shawshank Redemption, so...
It's true. Speed is pretty great.
Alright, I, you know, I, like, don't have any notes. Legal News, covered that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Having sex with the grandma, covered that.
Yep.
I wrote So Many Dead Babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little Mama has a miscarriage, and I was like, ugh, this is the worst.
That really was the worst.
Yeah. I just wrote my note for that was gross.
Yeah.
And then I wrote in all caps, everything is political.
Nice.
Everything which might have been a good line in a different movie, but in this one, it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
Patrick,
I don't know. Like, there was. I remember the scene where they all. So the was it the governor or whatever that was visiting the prison?
Yeah. Where they, the businessman or what? Wait, when?
When they're all like when they were signing this petition and then they want to give it. To him,
yeah, that's the business people.
Like that scene,
the people who are profiting off.
Yeah, like that scene, I felt like for a second I was like waiting for like no one to actually stand up. Like just for a second, I was like, hey, what if actually no one's like suddenly everyone decides to not stand up, and then like that's like the movie kind of saying, well. So we kind of made everyone feel like they're like, or made you feel like everyone's friends down there. But then once it's like really, like when it gets to it, like people in that prison really, like it's too rough to want to, or to be able to stand up to these people and like how difficult it is to get any kind of like rebellion or whatever going. And like for a second when the camera pans to the others and no one's standing up, I was like, okay, what if no one gets up? Maybe that would be kind of interesting. But then everyone gets up, and it's like this typical, like, fight the power.
And we
kind
don't
of.
Find out what happened with that.
Yeah, like, nothing
like
comes.
Two
of
women
it.
get thrown into solitary.
Yeah.
But
like, yeah, it would be interesting if she got thrown into solitary and then got back and was like, "Where were you guys? Like, why didn't anyone support?" Like, well, because I got like 5 years on my sentence, or like 2 years on my sentence, and I don't want to get 50 or whatever, like something like that.
Yeah, I thought that they were going to do something semi-interesting with, like, maybe that guy doesn't do anything since we earlier saw him, like, laughing at the idea of human rights violations. I don't know that, like, a petition saying our working conditions are terrible is really going to affect him. Like, what if he's just like, well, can you get your prisoners under control, and he just, like, throws the petitions in the garbage or something?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Would be equally plausible from that guy who seems like a horrible human being.
Yeah.
I didn't think any of it made sense. Like, they didn't follow through with any of that stuff properly. It was just like, there's no ending to this. It's just an open, loose end. It's like, oh, well, something, you know, and, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know
and
what
the
they thought.
The same
thing
with the, sorry.
I was going to say, it just seemed like they wanted a scene in there where they tried to protest peacefully, but them protesting to that person doesn't make any sense logically if you think about it. It's like, why would they think that that would work at all? Like, this is a person who's going to make money off of them. They're not going to listen to you.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, he's already agreed to this.
Yeah. Also, one of the things, it was a small thing that I noticed, but it just pointed to how sort of either quickly and shoddily or lazily this movie was put together. When the women are signing the petitions, they're fake signing on lines that are already signed, because when she hands the paper to them, it's like a full sheet of paper and they're like pretending to sign in the middle of it. And I was like, how hard is it to just like have a semi-blank piece of paper and have actors like really write their names or something?
With their other plan with the guard, there was something that was really weird with that too, where the brat's narrator said, like, they got him good, but then it turns out their plan doesn't work.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what?
I also thought it was strange at one point where there's a scene that happens or something, and then Debrat explains, like, months of plot in the middle. She's like, and then all this stuff happened, and then all this stuff happened, and it's like, all right, why did we see all of that? Why did you just tell us about all of that? It doesn't make any sense. It's just weird. It just, like, makes these huge jumps in time where it's just like, and all this crazy stuff happened, and it's like, why can't we see some of that crazy stuff?
this movie is really bad, but it's too serious for us to have a jokey podcast like Card of Words.
Yeah.
Or Little Caesar, yeah.
I mean, I feel uncomfortable making fun of that scene where, you know, her sister tells her that those news, even though, like, a big part of me kind of, like, was really uncomfortable because it, like, the way it was also acted was so over the top ridiculous. Like, the way they were screaming and the way, like, it all felt like, you know, like high school drama class or whatever. And it just, like, but it's, yeah, it's just uncomfortable to just make fun of.
I wrote that down. I think that I was like, this is a scene that I don't want to be laughing at, but I don't know any other reaction to have to how this information is being presented to me. Like, there's no way that I could take it seriously as an emotional beat, and because it goes from 0 to 60 in that scene so quickly and out of nowhere with no, like, build up or, you know, foreshadowing. I was just like, whoa, this scene is completely out of place.
Yeah.
And I mean, they repeat that all over and over again. Apparently, like, that's how they think people react to horrible news, is just to, like, scream. Immediately go from normal to just, like, an outrageous screaming denial.
Doesn't
that they
her
can't...
sister start screaming with her too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. They're just screaming
already
at
gone
each other
the first time.
Yeah, and there's something about the delivery where when she finally says it, like, your baby's been dead for 2 weeks or something like that. That's, like, a horrible way to phrase it, and then she's like, no! I don't know. I don't want to, like, I'm going to start laughing, so I'll
yeah,
stop,
exactly. But... Let's definitely not go
there. Let's talk about
there.
The scene where the kid dies in Barry Lyndon.
Yeah,
I laughed at that, and
yes,
nobody else did.
That is totally reminds me of that situation.
That's, like, the funniest scene in any movie.
Oh. Oh, actually,
I mean, I can at least buy your interpretation because most of that movie is super funny, and so I feel like it makes way more sense if that's supposed to be funny too, because when I was watching it, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm supposed to laugh here. It seems serious, maybe, but that seems out of keeping with the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
But the idea that Kubrick is the kind of person who would think that a baby dying could even be funny seems pretty plausible.
Take that, Kubrick. I thought of another scene that was kind of funny. Like, so when they got these, like, take these hostage, and he's laying on the floor, they're, like, beating on him, but they're beating on him in, like, a really half-hearted manner. Like they kick him, but they don't really kick him. Like, they don't really hurt him at all. Like, they just, like, tap him with their feet, like, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Probably because, like, maybe they were using a puppet and they didn't want to hit it too hard because then it would, like, fly away or something. So they were like, okay, just gently tap it, like, really gently, because his face is cut off in that shot. So, yeah, I was kind of, like, expecting them to be way more, like, I was so angry at, like, the movie, but also at this character, that I was like, oh, well, at least now they get to kick the shit out of him, and that would be kind of nice to watch, at least. But nope,
like,
not even that.
I felt like they shot him, like, a million times. Like,
yeah, they did. Like, they... But that kind of felt, like, by then I was like, nope.
And, possibly good news, Kristen Stewart says she wants to be a superhero in a super movie, in a superhero movie, which would make me really excited.
I would be super on board for that.
Just any superhero movie?
Well, she specifically mentioned that she would like to be in the Captain America movies, which, considering I like them the best, that would probably work out for me, but I'll take her in anything.
Even a DC something or other.
Yeah.
Let her play Batman.
Yes. It's time. No one ever talks about
Barbara
a female
Gordon.
Batman.
I said she'd make a good Barbara Gordon. Have they cast Barbara yet?
I don't think so.
Batgirl.
Is that Flash's wife?
No, it's Batgirl. It's Commissioner Gordon's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, does anyone else have anything they want to say about this movie?
Yeah, I mean, I took a bunch of notes because one thing I've noticed is that the less I like a movie, the more notes I take, because it's an easier way to distract myself. But I don't really... Yeah, there's... it's unfortunate. I was really looking forward to the idea, because on paper this sounds like a really interesting, cool movie, but...
It seems like they couldn't decide on a tone. That they couldn't decide if they wanted it to be like hard hitting and kind of street smart, or like really dramatic and emotional, and they kind of they split the difference in the worst way possible. Where they're like, they've got these dramatic scenes but they're overplayed, and then they've got DeBrat coming in giving you like the street smart narration, and you're just like, I don't know if any of this works together.
Hopefully the next two will be badass.
The first one was good. You should watch it if you get a chance, though, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
What was good?
God of Thunder.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, yeah. I heard Basil told me about it. I would very much like to watch it.
Imitai. That's a good one. And that was a good podcast, too. I felt like we were really succinct on that podcast.
Yep. I would be okay with K-Stu just playing Batman, by the way.
Yeah.
Me too.
I would love a K-Stu Batman. Yeah. I would see the crap out of that movie.
Chris Evans could be Robin.
Yes.
That would be excellent.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Please go into iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. Give us a good rating and write a nice review. Hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you next time.
Bye. I'm going to continue to wave at you even though you can't see it.
You always do that.
Can you hear me waving at you?